Hello, this is Tom Scott with the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, December 17th, 2025. We begin today's reading on the front page as we have many times this year. Lawsuits alleging inappropriate touching of students. Pacey given January 9th deadline to respond. Judge grants request to push back December 12th deadline for filing response to lawsuits. Paxton. Suspended Paxton Buckley Lota teacher and former coach Rob Pacey on Wednesday, December 10th, was granted a court extension to respond to lawsuits that claim he inappropriately touched female students. Five current and former students have sued Pacey, the PBL school district, and three current and former administrators. The lawsuits allege the school district and administrators failed to properly address the alleged misconduct. McLean County Judge Rebecca Foley, appearing via Zoom, granted the motion for an extension and set a new deadline of Friday, January 9th for Pacey to file a responsive pleading. The attorney for the plaintiffs did not oppose the motion. Attorney Emily Schnitt, representing Pacey, requested the extension from the original December 12th deadline due to time conflicts resulting from her firm's involvement in a Cook County jury trial that was unexpectedly extended and was expected to conclude on or about December 12th. In the motion for the extension, Schnitt said Pacey continues to diligently investigate the allegations contained in the complaint, as well as determining the appropriate response to the claims asserted. Foley set a hearing for 9:30 a.m. Friday, January 16th via Zoom. A previously scheduled December 29th hearing was vacated. The lawsuits, filed last summer, have since been consolidated into one. In November, Foley entered a protective order to prohibit the disclosure of confidential information contained in all materials produced or adduced in the course of discovery, including initial disclosures, responses to discovery requests, and deposition testimony and exhibits. The lawsuits allege that Pacey, a 17-year teacher in the PBL district, inappropriately touched students during the course of his employment, and that administrators did not properly address students' claims of misconduct, ignoring the district's own policies by never notifying the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services as required. Pacey was suspended with pay last spring from his job as a STEM and technology teacher at Clara Peterson Elementary School. He has not been criminally charged and has denied any wrongdoing. In addition to Pacey and the school district, the lawsuits name PBL Junior High Principal Josh Didier and former superintendents Travis Dooley and Cliff McClure. A December 12th deadline had been established for those defendants to answer the allegations. As of the close of business on December 12th, those defendants had not filed a motion for an extension, and online court records did not immediately show a response having been filed by the deadline. After the lawsuits were filed last summer in Ford County Circuit Court, McLean County's Foley was reassigned the case. We leave the front page now and turn to page 5 for more news from the court. Former pharmacist due back in court in February. Vogel charged with Class X, Class 3 felony counts of possession with intent to deliver controlled substance. Paxton. Because her attorney was unavailable, a December 8th pretrial hearing in the felony case against a former Paxton pharmacist has been moved to February. The hearing will be held at 1:30 p.m. Monday, February 9th, before Judge Matt Fitton at the courthouse in Paxton, according to Ford County Circuit Court online records. Jenna Lee Vogel, the one-time owner and head pharmacist of the now-shuttered Doug's Compounding Pharmacy in downtown Paxton, is charged with two counts of possession with intent to deliver a controlled substance. Vogel, who is 36, remains free under pretrial release order issued upon her arraignment last March. Vogel is being represented by Champaign attorney James Martinkus, while the case is being prosecuted by Ford County State's attorney Andrew Killian. Killian, last February, charged Vogel with one Class X and one Class 3 felony count of possession with intent to deliver a controlled substance. The charges allege that Vogel, quote, knowingly possessed with the intent to deliver 100 grams or more of a substance containing hydrocodone, as well as an amount of amphetamine on or about March 10, 2023. It was on the same date when 43,893 controlled substances were removed from the Vogel home in Gibson City by investigators for the Federal Drug Enforcement Administration, according to a complaint that led to the temporary suspension of her registered pharmacist license by the Illinois Department of Financial and Professional Regulation. The drugs included medications in their original manufacturer bottles, as well as unlabeled vials, containers of compounded creams and products with and without product name, and loose tablets and capsules in the bottoms of bags and totes, the complaint said. Only some of them were Vogel's prescriptions. 3 days later, the complaint said, Vogel's then-husband turned over to the DEA some of the antihypertensive drug clonidine that had been found in their home. According to the complaint, Vogel's pharmacy at 137 North Market Street in Paxton, which closed suddenly months earlier, had purchased more than 50,000 tablets of clonidine but never sold them. Meanwhile, her three kids' child care providers said they had noticed the kids were sleepy and lethargic, the complaint noted. The complaint, filed by Mary Meehan, Chief of Health-Related Prosecutions for the Illinois Department of Financial and Professional Regulation, led to a finding that Vogel poses, quote, an imminent danger to the public, unquote, and the suspension of Vogel's license, effective May 5, 2023. If convicted of the Class X felony charge against her, Vogel would face a mandatory prison term ranging from 6 to 30 years, while the Class 3 felony carries penalties ranging from probation to up to 5 years imprisonment. A mandatory street value fine, among other penalties, could be imposed as well. From Thawville, we have cat dies as two people escape house fire in Thawville. Thawville. A massive amount of water was used to extinguish a house fire in an Iroquois County village Sunday morning, and now the village is under a boil order. Chief Ralph Denault said firefighters responded to the home in Thawville around 9:25 a.m. As firefighters were on the way to the scene, smoke could be seen from around 10 to 15 miles away. When Ford Iroquois firefighters arrived, they found that the fire was coming out of the windows of the home. Two people were living there. While they escaped safely, one cat living in the home died. The home, located across from Iroquois West Elementary School, was ruled a total loss. Two people living in the home were displaced, but the American Red Cross was contacted to help them. Firefighters cleared the scene around 1:45 p.m. Now, officials are working to figure out how the fire started. Denault added that a water main broke Sunday morning, likely due to the large amount of water that was pulled to fight the fire. Village residents were experiencing a water service interruption, according to village officials. A boil order was in effect until further notice. Providing mutual aid at the fire were the fire protection districts of Melvin Roberts, Onarga, Gilman, Buckley, Danforth, Piper City, and Paxton. On page 3 we have, from Gail Griffin, Meeting Recap, Learning About Resources. Ford County residents braved inclement wintry weather to attend a meeting at Veterans Square in downtown Paxton earlier this month. They gathered to listen to information from representatives of the Developmental Services Center for Champaign and Ford Counties and the ARC of Illinois regarding services and resources available for individuals with differing abilities. Annie Bruno from the ARC of Illinois presented the process and importance of enrolling in PUNS, that's P-U-N-S, a Medicaid waiver program that enables individuals to access support and therapeutic services to assist in achieving their personal goals. Patty Walters, Executive Vice President of Clinical Service, and Heather Livingston, Director of Case Management, both representing the DSC, delivered a comprehensive overview of the services offered through the agency. Attendees received information about CILA, C-I-L-A, Community Integrated Living Arrangements, a program providing housing and support for individuals with differing abilities to live within the community. Another program highlighted was HCBS, Home and Community-Based Services, which provides support and services for individuals residing in their own homes. The representatives offered expert tips on navigating the process to ensure loved ones receive the best possible outcomes in the continuum of services following high school completion. Presenters from both agencies advised attendees to contact Prairieland Service Coordination to inform they are seeking services for their loved one. In addition, they encourage that when seeking services, consider the following key points. Enrollment in Medicaid. Once your child turns 18, they are considered a household of one. In order to receive waiver services, you must be approved for and enrolled in Medicaid. At 18, your son or daughter becomes their own guardian. If you believe they will require guidance and support, research guardianship, supportive decision-making, and various powers of attorney. Education. Individuals with differing abilities are eligible to remain in the public school system until age 22. HCBS versus CILA. Research options and understand that they are flexible. Once funding is awarded, it is available for life in Illinois, but not transferable to other states. Wait lists. Register for waitlists for services that appeal to you and your loved one. You have the option to accept or deny services that are often offered. Research various providers for residential, day service, and employment support or other services needed. SDA. Self-directed assistance allows you to consider enlisting the help of an agency to alleviate some of the burdens when receiving HCBS funding. Community services. Prioritize services in your home community and explore ways to make it happen. They spoke of the challenges of funding for disability programs and services in rural communities and referred to Champaign County creating the CCDDB, the Champaign County Board for the Care and Treatment of Persons with a Developmental Disability, to address needs in their county. Discussion was held about the possibility of forming a similar board in Ford County. Presenters concluded by inviting attendees to contact the DSC or the ARC of Illinois with any additional questions. Gail Griffin is a Paxson resident and a former head administrative assistant to the Deputy Superintendent of Unit 4 Schools, who has served for more than 20 years on the board of directors of the Developmental Services Center for Champaign and Ford County. We turn back to the front page, and we have a sad story from the Paxton City Council. Paxton's former TIF attorney dies at age 71. During the Paxton City Council's monthly meeting on Tuesday, December 9th, Mayor Bill Ingold expressed condolences to City Attorney Tony Shearing, whose father, Daniel P. Shearing, died Thursday, December 4th. The elder Shearing, 71, was a Springfield attorney who served the city of Paxton as a lead consultant for its first tax increment financing district. Services were scheduled for 11 a.m. Monday, December 15th at the Butler Funeral Home in Springfield, with burial at Oak Ridge Cemetery in Springfield. On behalf of the city of Paxton, Tony, I'd like to convey our deepest sympathies on the passing of your father last week, Engel told Tony Shearing. I think everybody here knew Dan Shearing, Engel continued. He started actually working on the TIF with us here at the city in 2007. And at that time, Tony came along and was kind of doing some of the legwork. But Dan did most of the heavy lifting on that. He was with us until 2019, when he retired from doing that kind of work. He passed away last week out in Kansas City, Missouri, while visiting with his family for Thanksgiving. And we're very sorry to hear that, Tony. And express our sympathies to your family if you would, please. I will thank you, replied Tony Shearing, attending the meeting remotely via video. If I could just say one thing, Mayor, if you'll entertain me for just a second. My dad really loved the city of Paxton and really enjoyed his time working with the city, and I know he would ask me to convey his thanks to the city for the wonderful years that he had the opportunity to work with and for you. On behalf of my family, thank you for that. He really enjoyed his time working with the city and was always reminding me that I needed to do the best job that I could for the city. So I really do appreciate that. Engel said a great testament to Shearing's work with the city happened the previous Friday, December 5th, when the downtown was packed with patrons shopping at stores during the annual holiday business open house. You couldn't find a parking space in two or three blocks, Engel said, noting that the local high school choir students performing Christmas carols at the businesses added to the atmosphere. It really was a culmination of the vision that we started back a long time ago to do this TIF district, and a lot of that work went with Dan Shearing, so we appreciate that. According to his obituary, Mr. Shearing, a resident of Springfield, obtained his Juris Doctor from St. Louis University School of Law in 1991, then worked until 2017 as an attorney in private practice, specializing in administrative law, local government law, and commercial transactions. From 2017 through his death, he served as an administrative law judge for the state's Bureau of Administrative Hearings. Our next story is not a local one, but I'm sure it does have some implications for some of our listeners. AT&T discontinuing traditional landline service. Traditional phone landlines are being relegated into the past across Illinois as AT&T looks to give customers newer, less expensive options. In a statement to WCIA Channel 3 News, an AT&T spokesman said the company is upgrading its communication services in favor of options like AT&T Phone Advanced. As part of that upgrade, copper-based service will eventually be discontinued in this area, the spokesperson said. This is a multi-year process, and no customer will be left without access to voice or 911 service. APA is described as a digital home phone service that works like a traditional landline, but is offered at comparable or sometimes lower costs. Customers can keep their existing number and even use their current telephone, and APA-A works with other technologies like fax machines, alarms, elevators, and medical monitoring devices. The spokesperson added that all current customers can keep their existing service until it is discontinued, and the company is working with customers and will notify them multiple times. Illinois, meanwhile, is the only state that requires an extended customer notification process before AT&T files to discontinue service at the Federal Communications Commission. Now we'll turn to the obituaries in the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, December 17th. Annalise Adams. Annalise Adams, née Whitegelt, 103, of Onarga, died Monday, December 8th at the Labella Nursing Home in Clifton. Funeral services were held Monday, December 15th at the Knapp Funeral Home in Onarga. A brief graveside service was at the Onarga Cemetery. Memorials may be made to the Nexus Onarga Healing Mission. Baldo M. Alvarez, Onarga. To Baldo M. Alvarez, Sr., 87, of Onarga, died Tuesday, December 9th at Riverside Medical Center in Kankakee. Funeral Mass was held Tuesday, December 16th at the Immaculate Conception Our Lady of Guadalupe Catholic Church in Gilman, with Father Santiago Corona officiating. Burial was in the Onarga Cemetery. Memorials may be made to the Onarga Lions Club. Glenn Drilling, Buckley. Glenn Wellington Whitey Drilling, 88, of Buckley, died Friday, December 12th at his home. Funeral services were held at 10:30 a.m. Friday, December 19th. At the Knapp Funeral Home in Cisna Park, with the Reverend Dale Fjordbotten officiating. Graveside military rites will be conducted by the American Cisna Park American Legion Post at the Cisna Park Cemetery. Memorials may be made to Trinity Lutheran Church in Cisna Park or Riley Hospital for Children in Indianapolis, Indiana. Gloria M. Raymer, that's spelled R-O-E-M-E-R, Paxton. Gloria M. Raymer, 73, of Paxton, died Sunday, December 7th at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Funeral services were held Wednesday, December 17th at the Rosenbaum Funeral Home in Gibson City. Burial was held Thursday, December 18th at the Tinley Park Memorial Cemetery. Memorials may be made to the St. John's Lutheran Church in Buckland. Daniel P. Schuring, Springfield. Daniel P. Schuring, 71, a Springfield attorney who served as the City of Paxton as a lead consultant for its first tax increment financing district, died Thursday, December 4th, following a short illness. Funeral services were held Monday, December 15th at Butler Funeral Homes in Springfield, followed by burial at Oak Ridge Cemetery in Springfield. Memorial contributions may be made to the Abraham Lincoln Council of the Boy Scouts of America or to the Vasculitis Foundation of America. Turning back to the front page we have from the Paxton City Council, Paxton signs off on hazards mitigation plan. Ford County's EMA coordinator, it's a win-win situation for all. Paxton. Paxton City Council on Tuesday, December 9th, approved an ordinance adopting Ford County's multi-jurisdictional natural hazards mitigation plan. The adoption of the plan makes the city eligible to apply for and receive federal funds made available through the Disaster Mitigation Act to complete mitigation projects identified within it. That is also the case for the other 15 taxing bodies in Ford County that participated in the plan's creation over the past 2.5 years and are now being asked to formally sign off on it as well. It's a win-win situation for everybody, Ford County's Management Agency Coordinator Terry Whitebird told the council, because this opens the door for more federal monies, specifically for mitigation projects. The plan, totaling some 700 pages, identifies the county's vulnerabilities to natural hazards such as severe thunderstorms, tornadoes, severe winter storms, and flooding, for example, and develops mitigation strategies to reduce or eliminate the effects of such hazards on residents' property, health, and lives, according to Whitebird. It was developed by a committee comprising of representatives of each of the participating taxing bodies, which met four times between April 2024 and September 2025. Since 1990, Ford County has been included in 8 emergency and major federal disaster declarations and experienced at least $16 million in recorded property damage and $76.3 million in recorded crop damages, stated a flyer distributed to aldermen by Whitebird. In the last 10 years alone, from 2014 to 2023, there have been 40 extreme cold events, 24 excessive heat events, 21 thunderstorms with damaging winds, 21 riverine flood events, 16 flash flood events, 16 severe winter storms, 10 severe storms with hail, 1 inch in diameter or greater, 3 tornadoes, 2 droughts, and 1 lightning strike with verified damages in the county. While natural hazards cannot be avoided, their impacts can be reduced through effective hazard mitigation, planning, and implementation. The plan is divided into sections that cover the planning process, risk assessment, jurisdiction capabilities, mitigation strategy, including jurisdiction-specific mitigation action lists, the plan maintenance, and adoption. Most of the plan is devoted to the risk assessment and mitigation strategy. A key component of the mitigation strategy is a list of the projects and activities developed by each participating jurisdiction to reduce the potential loss of life and property damage that results from the natural hazards identified in the risk assessment. These projects and activities are intended to be implemented before a hazard event occurs. The plan has already been reviewed and approved by the Illinois Emergency Management Agency and Federal Emergency Management Agencies, in addition to the Ford County Board. In addition to Ford County and Paxton, the other participating taxing bodies include the Gibson City Melvin Sibley, Paxton Buckley Lota, and Tri Point School Districts, the townships of Rogers and Sullivan, the villages of Kempton, Melvin, Piper City, Roberts, and Sibley, fire protection districts of Kempton, Piper City, the Moyer Library District, and Gibson City. It was a 2.5-year project, a lot of hours, a lot of time in meetings, a lot of paperwork, but I was glad to work with everybody on it, Whitebird said. Before the council gave its approval of the plan, Alderman Rob Pacey asked Paxton Emergency Response Service Director Andrew Turner to provide some examples of potential projects listed in the plan that could be funded using federal hazard mitigation money, if made available. Turner mentioned the repair of the ERS building's rear wall, the installation of new communications tower behind the building to give the agency's radios farther reach, and replacement of the city's 40-year-old tornado siren. Pacey said other projects might also be included is the purchase of backup generators and the long-discussed $7.5 million stormwater mitigation project planned for the city's southeast side. It runs the gamut, Pacey said. Whitebird said the plan will be up for review every 5 years. And that's all the time we have for this week's reading of the Ford County Chronicle. Next week is Christmas, and we'll be reading after that. So on behalf of all of us here at the Radio Reader, I wish you all a very Merry Christmas.